Mike and Trisha Mornings Podcast. Real, live, local.
Man, I went to go buy candy yesterday at Target. It's like the day before Christmas in there, man. It was, you know, I remember when Halloween wasn't that big of a deal. You know, I mean, you went to the store, you got a couple of bags of candy, everything was cool, you know.
Right.
But man, I mean, people were just buying like crazy.
Yeah, it has become like a second Christmas.
It really has.
Not just, you know, as far as the stores go, you know, buying all the candy and all the decorations, the outdoors, though. Like this weekend when I was rolling around town, I could see all kinds of houses that are decorated.
Oh, yeah.
Just like Christmas.
But, and big time decorated.
Oh, yeah.
Not just like, you know,
oh, yeah,
like they changed out the light bulb in their front porch or anything like that.
I mean, they tricked them out.
Yeah.
And they've got these big inflatables.
Yes.
And it's just crazy. It has become like a second Christmas.
Yeah. This morning when I was driving out, there were like three of my neighbors. And one of them has like an inflatable. It's a witch in a cauldron.
Mm-hmm.
And she pops up like
oh,
at
cool.
different intervals. Not cool, dude. Not when it's 4 o'clock in the morning and I'm trying to walk outside and get all my stuff in my car.
Yeah.
Not cool. I can tell you, you're wrong. It is not cool. I was like, I almost had a heart attack.
Well, it's cool to look at.
How about that? It's once you know it's coming at you.
Right, yes.
You know, but man, sakes alive. You know, I mean, I don't know if you know this, but we get up early in the morning. And so I don't necessarily go outside after dark. You know, once the sun goes down,
yeah,
I'm pretty much in. I'm like a toddler. You know, I take my bath. I get my jammies.
Yeah.
You know, I snuggle up with my blankie.
And did it look like, when you went to the store, did it look like some kind of, you know, thunderstorm, some kind of, you know,
yes,
big hurricane was coming in?
Yes.
The shelves
like
had
Apocalypse
already.
Apocalypse Now in there,
yeah,
man.
Did you get, you know, a chance to get any candy?
I did. Because, you know what? I don't always, here's the trick. If you go to the candy aisle where all the Halloween decorations or the Christmas decorations are,
mm-hmm,
you're going to get all the picked over stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the real candy aisle,
mm-hmm,
and they've got virtually the same stuff.
Right.
And nobody's there.
Yeah.
Because they've got all the kids and everybody's, all the tías and the abuelitas.
Yeah.
Everybody's in the seasonal aisle. Don't go to the seasonal aisle.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the candy aisle,
mm,
because that's the trick. Because they've got that same stuff there.
They have the fun size ones there, too.
They have all that stuff there. And me, personally, I figure, you know what? This is once a year. I'm not going to get the cheap candy. I can't do it. I see people, you know, buying the big mixed candy bags, you know, whatever. And you're like, man, those were the worst.
Yeah, they are.
I hated getting those when I was a kid.
Candy corn and those black and orange ones.
Yeah, don't give me that stuff.
Yeah, no.
You know, I would rather, honestly, I'd rather get one fun-size candy bar than a handful of that yuck.
Yeah, that stuff would become like my emergency stash.
Exactly.
And sometimes it would be there by, you know, next Halloween, it was still there.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes, though, I mean, you know, I had to break them out because I was
desperate. Right. You know, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. You just came back from
the
bar.
Well, I was a kid, you know, and it wasn't 2 o'clock in the morning in bars for me yet, Trisha. I don't know how old you started bar hopping, but I was a kid and it wasn't.
No, no.
Yeah, but, you know, occasionally I would have to raid that stash because there was nothing else that I could get my hands on that was sweet.
I was usually raiding that stash when my kids went to bed. Because, like, you know, after you've eaten all the really good stuff and you're like wandering around the house going, okay, I've done the last little laundry. It's, you know, it's 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning. I need something sweet.
Right, yeah.
You know, and you're like, all right, I'll eat the dang candy corn.
Crappy candy corn and black and orange wrapped candy stash.
That stuff is yucky.
Yeah.
Do not give me that stuff.
Yeah. After, of course, as I got older and then, you know, with the kid, with Moo and all, well, then I had my own stash of the best candy that I would take after he had gone to bed.
Absolutely, of course.
Yeah.
Yes. And you know what? As a parent, I'm providing you with a roof over your head.
Absolutely.
And you're sleeping in a comfortable bed with clean sheets.
Absolutely.
I get first pick at the candy.
It was a candy tax.
That's it.
That's how I considered it, a candy tax.
You got to teach these kids a lesson,
That's
man.
That's right.
You know? You don't always get what you want, man. Pay attention to the Rolling Stones.
And sometimes you do, but you have to, you know, give a little bit to the reindeer and a little bit to Santa
That's
Claus.
That's right.
It's Mike and Trisha Mornings on 93.1 KISS FM. Happy Halloween.
Woo-hoo.
KISS FM.
An anonymous tip to a local news outlet has people wondering if city reps and El Paso Mayor DeMargo violated the Open Meetings Act. The source says the mayor has several members of council over to his home for dinner recently. Several city reps said they did have dinner at Margo's home, but it was, quote, a cultivation event for our administration. City Rep Cassandra Brown said she and City Reps Sam Morgan, Claudia Ordaz-Perez, and Cecily Lizárraga were at the dinner. City Rep Michael Ngo also confirmed that he was at the function as well. Now, because there were five city reps and the mayor present, the six of them would constitute a quorum, but City Attorney Sylvia Firth said there was no quorum because the event was purely social and there was no business discussed. Firth went on to say that city reps didn't even sit together at tables. A possible rolling quorum is, of course, what caused problems for former Mayor Oscar Leeser and some city reps when they were seen in a meeting about the downtown arena in which members went in and out of an office in City Hall in order to avoid having a majority of reps and, therefore, a quorum.
And how would we know anyway?
If
we
they wouldn't, discussed?
Yeah, we wouldn't really know if any business was really discussed.
Yeah, it's the honor system. Sure. I mean, you'd have to, you'd have to take their word for it.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, to be quite honest with you, if you're, see, again, these guys, they don't understand about getting out in front of things. If they had just said, you know, I mean, and I'm sorry, but you're a public figure.
Mm-hmm.
You're an elected figure. And you're in the middle of a very contentious fight over city taxpayer money.
Yeah.
So why would you run the risk, first of all? There's no reason to run the risk. And then second of all, why would you not say, hey, you know what? We had this dinner.
Yeah.
And just bring it out.
Yeah. Well, and well, to begin with, I mean, there's already very little trust in them.
Exactly.
You know, to even just have the dinner.
Sure. And that's what I'm saying. Why would you put yourself in that situation? Yeah. Kiss FM.
According to the survey, here are some of the weird non-Halloween candy-related things that people have received in their Halloween trick-or-treat bag. A caramel-covered onion.
Ew.
Is on the list.
What a horrible person.
Cans of green beans and corn. Shoelaces. A brisket sandwich.
Oh, hey.
I could be down with that.
I don't know that I would be that worried about that or that upset about that.
I don't know. It depends on where they got the brisket from. Stamps. Dog food.
Dog food. Nice.
A mixtape. Okay. All right. Well, maybe I could be down with a mixtape. Just, I guess it depends on...
the
you know,
genre?
What's on the mixtape?
Right, right.
Is it a Halloween mixtape? If it is, what Halloween songs are on there? A bar of, is it Lever 2000? Is that the name of the
remember
soap?
Remember that stuff?
I remember that stuff.
Lever 2000.
Lever 2000.
Oh, my God.
A bar of Lever 2000. So you're telling me they don't make that anymore?
I guess not.
Well, that's just mean. That's just mean. Out of production soap is just mean. Because, like, what if you really liked it?
Right?
You wouldn't be able to get any more.
That's it.
They don't make it anymore.
It's gone. Kiss FM.
Alan Martinez is our guest. He's going to do a follow-up on the Ghost Hunt My Home of a couple of weeks ago.
Good evening.
So, Alan, take us to that day, a couple of Saturdays ago.
Right.
When you went to Annie Anonymous's home, you were going to ghost hunt that home.
Yes.
Reports of shadows and... Scratching
on walls, things getting flung around rooms,
pants being thrown, just ridiculous stuff like that. So you get there and tell me, first of all, let's draw the curtain back a little bit and talk about when people do these kind of investigations.
Right.
You know, because a lot of us, we watch movies, we watch TV shows, and it seems like, you know, oh, everything is so easy.
Right, yeah. And everything, I mean, when it comes to, like, it's very Hollywoodized, of course, it's going to be, you know, very glamorized and all this stuff. But, yeah, I mean, it's there's a lot of there's a lot of things that go into doing an investigation. I mean, you have to, like, set it up, and then, you know, there's all sort of, like, an evidence review. That's kind of, like, probably the hardest thing.
But when you get there and you set up all the equipment, what kind of equipment do you bring with you?
Usually it's for some reason, we're pretty lucky getting EVPs. So voice recorders are like the number one. Set up cameras, EMF detector, which is basically the K2, which measures electromagnetic fields.
Okay, and what's the importance of electromagnetic fields?
Well, the thing is that those things, they're basically used to, like, what's it called? Drawing a blank here. they're measured electromagnetic fields, like, to see, like, if there's, like, any type of bleeding when it comes to, like this, the plugins and stuff like that. So the thing is, like, make sure that all those circuits are secured and stuff.
Uh-huh. Oh,
so the thing is that That's what it's really used for. When it comes to like ghost hunting, it's if there's like no source of the electricity, that thing blinks or it kind of gives off a reading, mm-hmm. then you know that could be a possibility of some sort of entity there.
Okay, because ghosts are made out of electricity.
Yes, ghosts are energy.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, in a couple of spaces and a couple of places around El Paso, you see these huge electricity farms, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're enormous. And you roll down your window going past them one of these days, like if it's dark and it's you know, and there's no other cars around and it's real, real quiet. Usually it happens at night. That's why it's dark. And you can hear the electricity.
Yeah, the hum.
And you can feel it.
Okay.
And so a lot of times what people are mistaking for probably paranormal activity is maybe something's wrong with their electricity in their house.
Now, do you also take with you those night lenses? And
Arturo is actually the one that has the night vision goggles. He wasn't here with us for that investigation. He's a busy dude. So
So no night goggles for this one.
Night goggles for this one.
Okay.
We did have a full spectrum camera, two full spectrum cameras.
All right, explain that.
Okay, so the thing is that we see in a specific spectrum of light. So mm-hmm. our vision is only able to like kind of see specific light. And the thing is, like, what the cameras do is they basically open up the iris in order for us to be able to see all spectrums of light, like ultra red, the infrared, mm-hmm. The white, all that stuff. So thing is, like,
is that why they look green?
Those are
the night goggles.
Those are the night goggles.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So the thing is that basically what we do when it comes to those cameras is like we open up all the cabinets, all the mm-hmm. nooks and crannies, like so all the spectrums of light are visible.
Yeah.
You know, so the thing is like if we can't see them, that spectral of light will be able to see them.
Okay. So, all right. Because so it's kind of like sounds. There are spectrums of light that the human eye cannot detect.
Right.
Just like there are noises that our ears can't hear.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Audible.
Okay. All right. What are the? Are those all the toys that you took with you? Do you
yes.
have those really cool things that go?
Actually, you know what?
And you can hear them go, "Hey, it's me."
Yeah, actually, the thing is that I'm actually pretty kind of against the fence when it comes to like the white noise, which is what generators, which is what you're referring to. And for some reason, I kind of like you know did an experiment this time, and you actually hear it. We actually had the white noise generator today on that investigation due to the fact that. What it's supposed to do, there's two white noises. There's basically the one that kind of like it's a radio frequency and just kind of like changes radio stations.
Yeah, it's skipping through all the frequencies.
Right. And the thing is, like, I'm against the fence when it comes to that due to the fact that, I mean, let's just say, like, you ask, oh, like, are you here? And it's like, and since it's radio, it's changing the radio station so fast, like, you uh-huh. catch a DJ saying, like,
so you
here.
Could. Oh, yeah, I see.
You know, it's just like chance, and it's like there's like too many variables.
So
just like,
you don't know because it's going through all the radio frequencies.
Yes,
even the ones that are being used.
Right, exactly. So,
if you're like, who's there? Then you could possibly, maybe there's a chance you could catch like some radio DJ going in the air chair.
Yeah,
and you'd be like, whoa.
Yeah, yeah.
He must have been a DJ back in the day.
Yeah, yeah.
Or like Elvis. And you're like, oh, Elvis is here. I don't know, whatever.
Oh, so, I get you. I didn't know that's how they work.
Yeah, see, and that's that type of white noise generator. And there's one that just has like a hiss.
Mm-hmm.
And that one is the one I actually use due to the fact that with the hiss, it kind of gives a little background for or some sort of energy for something to grab onto
mm-hmm.
and, you know, generate some sort of audible sound.
Okay. All right, like the EMF detectors.
Yes.
Where
okay.
Because ghostesses are energy.
Exactly, yeah, the energy.
Okay, so those are the toys that you took with you to
yes.
investigate our homeowner's house.
Right.
All right, when we come back, we'll find out from Alan what it is, if anything, that they caught when they were spending a couple of hours there. Because sometimes they don't show, man.
Sometimes
the ghostesses are like, yeah, not today, man.
They're shy.
Yeah, right. They're like, I've
they're
had
like,
enough of you guys.
Who is that?
Right. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. Because I've seen some episodes of, like, for example, Ghost Adventures, where they're, like, struggling to fill up that hour.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I mean,
it's
you
like
know.
Pulling teeth.
Yeah, where it's like, yeah, I'm feeling something. But, you know, there's really nothing they can show you because nothing shows up on their cameras
right.
or shows up on their recorders.
Yes.
You know, you might have feelings, but
there's
not
tangible.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so, I mean, it can happen sometimes. So we'll be right back and we'll talk to Alan about exactly what, when he went through the home, because the homeowners were there, correct? The
yes,
husband and the
correct.
Wife?
That's part of the reason why I actually like them being there, because like, if we're there just by ourselves, like, they could be really shy.
Right.
Or they're comfortable with the homeowner. So that's yes. why I was like, oh,
yeah, because they're attached to them.
Exactly.
Right.
So to speak. So
that's why I, but yes, they were there.
And, okay.
We'll figure it out.
All right. Alan Martinez, Research in Paranormal Science, Dolores Whitaker, Psychic Medium, that we'll speak to her a little later. First, though, Alan,
yes,
who
sir.
Ghost hunted one of our listeners' homes for Halloween.
Oh, yeah.
So, you're there. You set up the equipment.
Mm-hmm.
The homeowners are there as well.
Yes.
What happened?
Okay, so I did an initial EMF sweep, basically just kind of making sure that there's no, you know, electromagnetic field bleeds. Because also, I forgot to mention that if there's like an EMF bleed, it could kind of mess with your like senses. It could like make you hallucinate or like, you know, nauseous or like feel dizzy and stuff like that. So that's kind of, you know, part of like maybe you're not seeing a ghost. Maybe it's, you know, there's like something wrong with your wiring, you know. So that's kind of part of it. That's kind of like, you know. So the thing is that anyway, so I did an EMF sweep. Everything's, you know, nothing's bleeding. You know, everything's good. So I know if I get some sort of spike, you know, it has nothing to do with electronics.
Okay.
One weird thing, and we'll go ahead and I send you the clip, but one weird thing that I experienced in the house was that I set up most of the claims were in the main bedroom, the master bedroom, and like the pants that flew.
Right.
Yeah. So the thing is like that kind of correlates with basically what we're gonna hear. And the thing is that I set up the voice recorder and I was like, you know, this is Alan Martinez, and then, you know, this is the time is blah blah blah. Just kind of, you know, putting all that down, and all right, I'm gonna go ahead and close the door, and you could hear the door close, and then I go into to another room and to set up another voice recorder in that room, mm-hmm. and by the time it took me to set that recorder up, and I was closing the door to that room, I heard like someone like shuffling or like some sort of I don't know, like somebody like looking for something. The husband was like, just kind of basically about to go to work, so I was like, oh well, maybe he's just getting something last minute, you know, like
right.
whatever stuff, and. He's in there, and I go to, and I was like, all right, cool. I just kind of, you know, blew it off, and I went to the room where everybody was, and, like, everybody was there.
Including the husband.
And I was like, whoa. I was like, you weren't just in the room right now?
Uh-huh.
And then he's like, no, like, we've been here. Like, we haven't, you know, left. And I was like, I kind of heard, like, somebody, like, looking for something, and they're like, I thought it was you. You know, you're about to go to work. And he goes, I haven't. And I was like, okay. So we went to, like, investigate. I was, you know what, something fell, like so shuffling. I don't know. You would know if something was out of place. So
right.
go ahead and, you know, follow me.
Uh-huh.
And we went in there, and I'm not familiar with the home, so I was like, okay, so anything missing or anything?
out of place, out of the ordinary.
Yeah, and the thing is that he noticed that there's like this surge protector where they connect. It's right beside like this nightstand, right beside their bed. You know, that you connect, you know, your phones to charge and all that stuff or whatever. And it was on the floor, and on, you know, not only the surge protector, but there was like a box underneath it. And that was on the floor. And I was just like, how did that get there? You know, like, and he goes, it's been there for years. I mean, I don't know why it would fall. Like, it's been secure. Like, it hasn't fallen, nothing. So we were trying to figure that out. And, like, there was absolutely nobody in the room and couldn't figure it out.
Huh.
So just on its own, it decided to pick the day that you were there.
Yeah, I guess so.
Maybe because you were there.
Maybe because it...
Maybe it was upset that you were there.
Maybe he thought it was pants and it was the...
Throwing... or they ran out of pants to throw at people.
Maybe it thought, you know, I'll throw pants at the family because no damage can be done.
Right.
But this clown...
Right, but the interloper, he gets the heavy stuff.
This guy.
Okay, so here, let me play this clip. I'm not really sure what's on here. Okay, is that the stuff that fell?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Did you hear that little voice at the end?
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
There's a little at the very end.
On.
There's like a little, it kind of goes shh, like there. That.
Good catch.
Yep.
Huh.
Like it's going, yo, you know what? Yes, I am here.
That's like a Des Bryant worthy catch right there.
Wow. Yeah. We're gonna have to take a closer look at that one later.
Yeah.
We'll figure that one out.
See if we can isolate that and make anything out.
All right, Trish.
Nice.
Can I tell you? I can't talk,
star.
But I can hear.
So did everything happen in one room? Was there a specific area where a lot of the activity was happening?
Yeah, basically it happened in the bedrooms, in the master bedroom, and then there was the daughter's room as well.
Ah.
Where the people are.
Remember the phone call, not when we spoke to the homeowner.
Yeah.
She talked about her daughter.
Oh, that's
right. Her daughter's the one.
She wouldn't stay in the room.
She won't stay in her room a lot of times.
Yeah.
And it's been happening for years now, she said, for like 4 years now.
Right. And as a matter of fact, the night before we talked to her.
Yes.
Her little girl was like, uh-uh.
Yeah, I'm sleeping
with you. I am not
staying
in here.
Right. So it was a daughter's room. And then the room that you had told us before, that remains. Do they keep it closed on purpose because of that?
Oh, there was another guest room. It's like basically like the junk room, basically.
Oh,
it's it's a lot of like the husband's like.
Oh, I see.
It's just there.
Yeah, a lot of the stuff she doesn't want out in public.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
There's a difficulty to convincing her to open the door.
No, now, what about? She also, when we spoke to her, she talked about seeing shadows.
Right. Yeah. She was. Okay. So the things like there's no rules. Like that's more of a personal experience. But we were in the master bedroom, myself and an anonymous. And we were in there, and we were just doing EVP sessions, just asking questions, open-ended questions. And at the corner of her eyes, like where the restroom was at, you would see shadow shifts. And I'm familiar with them, you know? And for her, she was just like, what was that? And I was like, no, just like stay still. Like don't, you know, nothing's cool. But it was more curious than anything. It wasn't like anything malevolent. Or there was like no heavy presence or anything like that. It was just kind of like peeking through and like kind of, you know.
And exactly what do you mean by shadow shifts?
The shadow shift, it's one of those things that you kind of see at the corner of your eye, your peripheral vision.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you're kind of, and it's, I mean, it's dark. So your eyes have to adjust a little bit after a while or whatever. So they adjust and then you see something darker than the dark.
Right.
Does that make any sense?
Yeah. No, it does.
And they just kind of like, you know, do like a little, you know, shifting. I mean, and you catch it. You catch something or like when something moves, you're like, you know, automatically.
Right.
You know, look that way. And so she was kind of unfamiliar with it. And she was like, what was that? And I was like, I don't know. You know, I saw it too. And also at the same time when that was happening, there was cold spots, which is, you know, and I even asked her, I was like, do you have your window open? She was like, no, it's totally closed. So I was feeling like, you know, basically cold in like one part of my body. And she was feeling it as well. And it was one of those things that kind of correlates that, you know, there's a presence. Usually cold spots, it's the absence of air. So the thing is, like, what the ghosts do is they try to manifest themselves, and they take the energy from the air itself. So when they're taking the air, it becomes cold.
Oh, that's cool.
So kind of, I mean, you know, the best way I can describe it is, like, you know how, like, they have those compressed air dust cans or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
So what it does is it's compressed air, and you're spraying it, so it's leaving the can. And the can starts becoming cold.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
That's kind of the best way I could describe it.
Yeah. And you felt that next near you.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, it was right next to me.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing, because it was dark, there was nothing you could see.
Well, like I said, I mean, it was dark, and then the shadow shifts were darker than the dark.
Right.
If that makes any sense.
No, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah,
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, because that's weird when that happens.
Yes.
Because you're like, okay.
Yeah. Even though it's dark on dark,
right.
You can still see that something is darker than the other
part. Yeah, because it like absorbs all the light.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird concept to think of. Actually, we experienced this here when we were in the, a long time ago when we investigated this place in the men's restroom. Like that. We turned off everything and I was like, my brother was like, whoa.
Okay. So was that the strangest thing that happened to you there at their home?
Yes. What we experienced, yes. That's kind
of. So they were basically pretty quiet.
Yeah. It wasn't anything. Like, I even mentioned it. I was like, it's nothing menacing. It's nothing, you know, crazy. It's just curious.
Yeah.
You know?
But you could feel stuff.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
What did she say when you were like, I mean, because you said that she was like, what was that? So there was something that happened that she hasn't experienced before, which is the shadow shifts.
Yeah, see, and most of the things that she was experiencing, in the, other than, I guess, the pants being thrown or whatever, was just, like, audible. And she actually saw, was it her or was it her mother-in-law? No, it wasn't mother-in-law that saw the little girl. But she would see, like, the shadows kind of when she was, like, preparing her daughter's breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but no, but I mean, she didn't see like the shadow shifting, like in the dark.
Yeah, she hadn't seen that before until she was right there with you.
Yeah, so she basically confused like the shadow for her daughter at one point.
Normal people aren't going to, you know, lock themselves up in a room and try to, you know, look for shadows.
In the dark.
In the dark.
Oh, that.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. She's not, so she hadn't seen that before because normally they just try to, I'm not looking.
And see, the thing is that part of the, we'll get into that when it comes to Dolores, but part of the things, like her trying to protect her daughter, it was kind of the same thing. She was like trying to, you know, like telling her daughter, like, no, like, you know.
It's nothing,
nothing,
yeah. Because you don't want them all, you don't want them scared.
Right,
exactly.
You know, especially in their own home.
Yeah, and inadvertently she was like, you know, what I suggested is like empower her, basically, you know, kind of like acknowledge that she's seeing something.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, like, I guess because of the whole thing, she was, you know, kind of open to that.
Sure.
And since we were there in the investigation, she was more open to it.
Right.
So she was able to see those types of shadow shifts.
Right. Okay. Yeah. All right. Speaking of Dolores, when we come back, Dolores, you know, part of the deal was to cleanse the crib as well.
Yeah.
Not just ghost hunt the home, but cleanse the crib. So when we come back, we'll find out from Dolores if she felt anything, what happened when she, you know, cleansed the place. Kiss FM. Ghost hunt my home for Halloween. One of the deals was not only would Alan from Research in Paranormal Science El Paso ghost hunt a home, but Dolores, who's a psychic medium, would cleanse the crib when they were all done. And Dolores will now tell us about her experience cleansing the crib. So you were there yesterday.
Yes.
And you walk into a room. How did you feel when you walked into their home? Did you get a sense of anything?
Well, the first thing I felt when I walked in was a thickness. But it didn't necessarily have anything to do with spirits. It was like a negative residual energy that was there from, I guess, the owners that were there before them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure they were pretty negative people, and they left that behind. So that was the first thing that I felt. You can
leave negativity behind?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, that's good to know.
How do you do that?
It just...
So what do you mean, like if the place is just, like if the people were all angry with each other all the time, or if it was one of those, I don't know, maybe they were going through a divorce or whatever, and there was a lot of that going on, that kind of place sticks to the walls and such?
Yes, that negative energy is just really, really sticky. So it, like, houses, rooms, just things can absorb that. And so that, I told them immediately that was what I felt, a thickness in there.
Uh-huh.
And then just a few, maybe a few minutes after being there, I heard a little girl tell me this way. So I turned down the hall. Everyone was talking, and I just kind of went on my own. And then she told me this way. And so I went down the hall. I turned right, and then she told me this room. And then I discovered the little girl's room.
Okay, so you mean their daughter's room?
Yes.
So a little girl, not their daughter.
No.
And not a living person.
Not at all.
Because all you could do was hear this person.
Yes.
Telling you to go to this room, specifically the daughter's room, which we've told you before, and Alan, you know, so much has reiterated that as well, that's the place that she feels the most. It's from the little girl's room.
Right. Yes. And I had no idea. I prefer not to have any information at all before I go in.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, she led me to the room. And then I kind of went back and just kind of felt everything around. And then I discovered what was going on.
And so what did you discover going on in there?
So I discovered that, yes, there's a little girl that's there. But their daughter, it's not the house that's haunted. It's their daughter. She attracts entities.
Oh.
What?
Yes, because she can. She's very gifted. She can see, hear, feel. She's very, she's an empath.
Uh-huh.
She picks up on a lot of things, and
uh-huh.
she's very, very gifted. So she tends to attract not evil or bad spirits, but more good spirits. They really like her. And... that's what I've discovered.
So what was the little girl doing there?
She really liked her. It was kind of sad.
So it was kind of like, this is my friend?
Yes.
And I'm hanging out
more
here
like
because...
this is like my sister.
And I really like hanging out here because I really like this person.
Yes, because at the end, when I was going to cleanse the house, she asked me to ask them if she could just stay one more night to stay with her.
Oh.
The ghost girl.
Yes.
Oh.
Oh,
it was
wow.
kind of like.
Now, did you find out why the little girl? Like, was the little girl attached to the house in any way?
No, not at all.
She just found the little girl because she's like a being of light,
yes,
basically.
And I was trying to explain that to her parents or to the mother more so, that it's like being in the dark and seeing a light, and their daughter is the light. Mm-hmm. And she's gifted, and so is the dad. Mm-hmm. And so they just kind of created a very gifted child.
Right.
Wow.
So.
How did the mother react to the news?
Well, I assume she didn't like that.
Well,
so
yeah.
I was just trying to explain, you know, that there are, I like to give people tools to help themselves so that they don't have to continuously call me and empower them.
Right.
So I just gave her some advice, and I think she felt better at the end after everything that I discussed with her. And I did tell her also to empower her daughter so that she can feel a lot more free to discuss things mm-hmm. and not feel like she has to stay quiet about it. And then
yes.
that's what makes her more scared is
yeah.
she doesn't have anyone
well,
to
yeah.
talk to.
And okay, so the daughter wasn't there?
No.
Okay. And so did they let the little girl stay one more night? Or
yes.
did they tell her to get rid of her?
No, they said it was fine. It was actually like... We got a little teary-eyed.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
I saw that in Trisha as well when you were
yeah.
telling the story.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, man.
Yeah.
Because you feel bad because, like, a lot of times, like, friends have asked me, can you walk through my house before they buy a house? And one of them, who used to work here in the media, before she and her husband bought a house in the Upper Valley, she was like, I want you to walk through this house before we rent it. And I was mm-hmm. like, okay.
Yeah.
So I walked through it, and I was like, man, there's
yeah.
a lot of people in here.
Because several people have said that Trisha feels stuff as well.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And so we were walking through the house, and I turned around, and I looked at her, and I was like, man, they really like you. And she was like, well, how can you tell? And I said, because they are moving between the both of us. You know, like both of us, they're attracted to both of us.
Mm-hmm.
And she's not cool with that. So she was like, yeah, we're not renting this house.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And she was like, they're not going to follow me, are they? And I'm like, no, they're not going to follow you. Don't be silly.
So was that the only thing that you felt? Just the little girl?
I did feel that at the moment, at that time, the little girl was there. But I did feel that she constantly has visitors on a constant mm-hmm. basis. And I
and,
also...
And what, are they just rolling through?
Yeah, basically.
She's
so
like
it's always changing.
Ghost.
But it's
yeah.
always... I told them that it's always like small things.
Uh-huh.
And then that's when the mother was like, yes, we were always seeing like
little
small
shadows.
Things, little shadows. She said that she... Because I guess they thought there was a boy there for a while, or they saw a boy.
Uh-huh.
And then I said, no, there's a girl here today. And then they were kind of like, oh, yeah, I thought I saw a little girl that was my daughter, but it wasn't her.
So then it wouldn't matter where they would go
mm-mm.
because it's the little girl they're attracted to.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then they're both also gifted. So it just is kind of like
a vortex.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Wow. So then did you cleanse the place?
Yes.
And
was it successful?
Yes. She kept saying at the end that she felt so much better. And I think it was just. The knowledge that I gave her that there she's not attracting bad things, just
uh-huh.
it's so interesting. It's
yeah.
all good things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that how it, like, could she be attracting bad things?
Well, I don't understand. I think I asked to sit with her because I told her, you know, if you want me to talk to her to kind of help her acknowledge and embrace what she has, I would.
Yeah.
And I just have never met someone who only attracts good things.
That's
really?
Nice.
Yes.
So like you don't just attract good things?
No.
No?
Everything wants to talk to
everything,
me.
Everything, huh? Good or bad?
Yes.
But in her case?
In her case, it's
do you think it's because
good.
Of her age? Do you think it's because she's a child?
No, because at that age, I found a lot of similarities in her and myself at that age. And no, I just think it's her being. There's something about her.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
Wow. I've never heard of stuff like this before.
And you know what's really funny
it's
is that Dolores is totally different on this visit as she was on the previous visit. It's like you've kind of been, you know, for lack of a better phrase, touched by an angel. Like your experience with this little girl it's changed your entire demeanor.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
At least for today.
Not later tonight, though.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
That's when the bad Halloween girl right. comes out.
That's when bad Dolores comes out.
No, but it was an interesting case, and I'm really glad that I went to help them out, and she felt
that's cool.
really relieved.
That's good to know. Cool. That's good to know. So you felt that they were happy with the cleansing?
Oh, yes.
They were okay with that? Not so okay with their daughter being a beam of light?
No, I don't think so. But I think at the end of the day, she felt a lot better.
Yeah.
At least knowing rather than kind of being
right,
dark about
right.
it.
Right, and knowing that that she's not attracting evil stuff.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. And so, Alan, would you say, Alan, that they were happy with the investigation that you provided them?
Yeah, I would say so.
Okay.
Yeah, because the thing is, and basically everything correlated when it comes to like what they experienced, what she saw,
mm-hmm.
the stuff that I experienced as well, and mm-hmm. you know, caught on audio or whatever. It's like sounds, you know what I mean?
Sure, sure.
I know you guys like the EVPs.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, I like people telling talking. You to get out and
yeah, of course.
Please go.
Stuff like that.
Stop it.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of stuff.
Play these lotto numbers, you know,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I wasn't able to get EVPs, but I mean, everything did correlate. And, like, I wanted to kind of say that that's why, like, you can't really say there's, like, paranormal expert due to the fact that, like, you were saying, like, I've never really experienced that.
Yeah,
she's never
no, I've never heard
that
of
either.
Right.
So, I mean, it's like, brand new every single time. So,
yeah.
It doesn't necessarily mean, like, oh, this is your standard haunting
right.
or whatever.
Closest I ever experienced was when I watched The Sixth Sense and that little boy, you know, and he was just attracting people that wanted, you know, stuff to be done for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And all, I mean, she still has my number. She still has, Dolores gave her number. And I think they're going to stop by the shop, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But, I mean, it's not like, okay, well, that's it. End of chapter. And,
right.
You know, never say. But, I mean, we're always available.
Yeah.
You know,
you two are like social that. Workers. Yeah. You're like the social workers of the paranormal
that's right.
world.
Well.
It's like Beetlejuice.
Yeah. So,
it's like Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
I'm Juno.
And
your case works.
Oh, goodness. But, yeah, I mean, she has the option of, like, for whatever reason, you know how, like, basically she was saying, like, it's going to be, like, a continuous thing.
Right.
If it's something that she kind of, like, you know, feels that's out of her control or something, she
yeah.
can definitely give us a call at any time. And we'll be back there.
Right, right. Yeah, because it sounds like their house is, you know, on a stop, you know?
Yeah,
it's
especially
like,
when you've got three of them in there.
Right, exactly, you know? Okay, all right. Well, we appreciate you guys. Thank you, sir, so much for doing this for us.
Yes.
Appreciate that. Dolores, Alan.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. if you can both leave us your information in case, you know, other people feel like maybe they could use a little consultation about what's going on in their neighborhood.
Okay.
All right.
Definitely.
Thank you, guys.
You've been listening to Mike and Tricia Mornings. For more, visit KissElPaso.com or download the 93.1 Kiss FM app for free to your iPhone or Android.